Okay, so the Senate was waiting for the Congressional Budget Office to give it its final decision and tell us exactly how much their health care bill was going to cost. If you think that settled the argument over the cost of this bill, you are absolutely wrong, because the American public is still arguing.
I believe it will be cheaper for everyone, because what we're all paying now is pretty expensive. I'm a young person, and I pay $200 a month, and I don't go see a doctor even once a year.
I think it's too expensive. I think they are giving us the wrong numbers, and I think it should be voted down. I don't even think it should be voted on.
So the Congressional Budget Office said this bill is going to be cheaper than the plan that we have right now. But a new report from the insurance industry says they say that's not accurate. They say consumers are going to be hit with a great big huge price tag. Who is right? We're going to look at the exact numbers here with Alice Rivlin. She's a senior fellow at the Brookings Institute, former and first Congressional Budget Office director. We're also joined by David Herzenshorn, congressional correspondent for the New York Times. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
So, Alice,
good morning.
First of all, the Congressional Budget Office is for legislators the gold standard in accounting for how much these bills cost. Exactly how do they determine the future cost of a bill?
Well, it's a very, very difficult process. Somebody has to do it and give their best judgment. But obviously, nobody can predict the future exactly. What they do is look at the provisions of the bill. In this case, new subsidies for insurance, new requirements that people buy insurance, a new entity called exchanges on which insurance will be bought and sold, and they try to estimate what the cost to the government will be of all of those provisions. Now, they have to look at comparable things that have happened in other places, like Massachusetts, for example, has a similar program, and so there's a little bit of experience there. And they look at other kinds of programs. One big question is always, how many people will actually take up this insurance if it's offered to them? So they have to look at other evidence on that. But in the end, it's a judgmental call. They don't know what's going to happen in the future, but we have to make some estimates of what this will cost to the government, because you can't just throw caution to the winds and say it won't cost anything, or we don't care what it costs.
So, David, we also have this new ad campaign. It's paid for by the insurance industries, pretty much, which I assume would make it relatively suspect. But do we know if it's accurate, their numbers that they've come up with? If the CBO is not an exact science, could the insurance industry be right?
Well, I think what we have is a report, right, and we're waiting to see how much they publicize it and if they're going to start an ad campaign opposing the legislation. What we have is an effort by the insurance industry and their accounting firm to answer a different question, which is, what is this going to cost you or me? What are people going to pay for insurance premiums in the years ahead? And in fact, that's a question that the Congressional Budget Office, which is really expert at this stuff, has said, you know what? That's too complicated for us. We can focus on what this is going to cost the government, but to try and figure out, you know, for each person's individual circumstance, what the insurance premiums are going to be in the future is really, really difficult. And we do know one thing, which is, again, costs are going up. Medical inflation will continue to rise. The question is how fast. Supporters of this bill say they can slow that down a bit for all of us, and it'll work out to be cheaper. Critics say, no, those costs are still going to be out of control, and that's what the insurance industry is trying to suggest here.
But, David, doesn't the insurance industry set its own premiums? I mean, aren't the costs, to at least some extent, within their control?
Well, sure, but of course their costs depend on what they have to pay doctors and hospitals and other providers, and the legislation will impose a whole new series of rules, more than any of us have been able to describe in news coverage of it. You know, the common ones are known, right? They would no longer be able to bar coverage based on pre-existing medical conditions, but the law would set minimum benefits levels, which in some cases, my colleague Robert Pear has written about this, those benefit levels would be better, much better than what people often pay for and get now in insurance. So it's very complicated, because insurance as we know it will change so much in the years ahead if this bill gets passed.
So, Alice, you also worked in the Clinton administration when they were trying to overhaul health care. The Congressional Budget Office is nonpartisan. And during the Clinton's era, The Clinton administration argued with the CBO about their estimate. They felt that the CBO had come up with the wrong numbers. And so sometimes the CBO office can become part of the political debate. How can we trust who's right and who's wrong if the people on Capitol Hill are arguing amongst themselves?
Well, it's just because they are arguing among themselves that you need the Congressional Budget Office. The Congressional Budget Office has been appointed as the arbiter, the nonpartisan expert. Now, they do the best they can in an uncertain situation, but when everybody is throwing different numbers around and the Congress has to vote on a bill, somebody has to say, this, in our best judgment, as nonpartisan analysts, is what this bill will cost and how much it will save and what the revenues will be. That's CBO's job. Now, when I was Clinton's budget director, of course, I thought the Congress ought to pass the bill that we had proposed. And so we had somewhat different lower cost estimates
than the
CBO did. But we were a party at interest. We wanted this bill to pass. You need the CBO to be, as best they can, the impartial arbiter.
So quickly, David, we pretty much can't trust the numbers coming from anybody who either wants the bill to pass or fail, right?
Well, you gotta look at them all carefully, right? I mean, there are also things that are just outside the purview of the CBO, right? It can't tell you whether Americans will do things to make themselves healthier. People
right.
believe that'll happen, but you can't assign any budget savings to that.
Okay, David.
It's a variable.
David Herzenhorn is a congressional correspondent for The New York Times, our partner, and also Alice Rivlin spoke with us, senior fellow at the Brookings Institute and the first Congressional Budget Office director.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.